Good morning and welcome to Bridgewater. I'm glad that you have made the decision to join us for the best Sunday ever, what we've called the best Sunday ever. We do this once a year. We're excited for a lot of activities, which we're going to be talking about after our second service, and we'll keep you up to speed. I want to welcome those who are listening in online to our service today. We're glad that you're joining us this week. But before I get into this week's message, I want to talk about next week's series. We're going to begin a new series next week called My Big Fat Mouth, okay? So have you ever like said something that after it came out of your mouth, you kind of regretted saying it?
Never.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. So there are times that we go through life and we say things that really can negatively impact us. It can negatively impact those that we're talking to. And sometimes it doesn't put a great spin on who we are as a person. Because sometimes as a society, we get in a place where we're maybe not as careful with our words as we should be. We're seen as people who are complainers about things. And so we're going to ask you to come back for the series. I think it's going to be a fun series talking about things that are very relevant. But we have like a kind of a preview video if you want to watch it as we plan for next week.
Period, I gotta punctuate it. I said I loved your shirt, but behind your back I said I hate it. May lightning strike me down if I lie, may no one be around when my tongue's untied. Everybody says it's okay, all the little things I say with my big fat mouth. La 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 la.
Okay, so I know that none of you have a problem with that here, but what we've done is we put invite cards on your chair because you know people like that, okay? And so we want you to invite them back. We think it's going to be a relevant series to help people as they think through the things they say, the way they come across, and we want people to use their words more wisely. And so if you want to come back next week for that, we're going to start that series. Today we finish up our series, This Is Us. What we're doing in this series is we're talking about the values, our core values that make Bridgewater, Bridgewater. And what's important to us is that we believe God has given the church principles to follow, and so we want to do that. So we want to keep it before you and making sure that you know as a ministry, this is what we are about. This is where we're going into the future. And so if you want to join me in this, I'm going to go through those. We have these listed at all five of our campuses, and we have them in our cafe. We don't want any cheating, no looking back in the cafe at the signs. But let's see how well you do with this, okay? So hopefully I can remember them. Last week I blew them, and so this week we'll see what we do, okay? So everyone has the next step. Great, three of you. Thank you. That's awesome. Found people. Save people. Life is better connected, and we give because he gave. Awesome. Those are our core values. And if you want to catch up on what we've been talking about, you can go online and listen to the services that we've had in the last couple of weeks. This week, we're going to talk about everyone has the next step. If you've ever been involved in Christianity to any degree, I think most of you would understand that as you walk this life in Christ, as you walk this journey, you know that Christianity is more than a one-time event. See, some people believe, okay, hey, I went to a Billy Graham crusade, okay? And so from that point on, I'm good, and that's Christianity. But I think we all know that Christianity is a journey. And sometimes it's a difficult journey. In life, we want things to be easy, but I want you to know that following Christ sometimes can be hard. And so in life, some of you guys have made it your goal in life that you want to have this life of ease. And so you've created this stuff around you to make life easy. So some of you have this thing called a map app. Do you guys have that on your phone? So when you're going somewhere, my wife is our navigator when we take trips. And so when we take trips, she's over there with her phone, and she always complains because it's draining her phone, and she wants to use it for other things. But she's the one who's our navigator. And so when she's watching the phone, there are times on this app as you move down the road that all of a sudden she goes, uh-oh. You know what she's saying uh-oh for, right? Because there's red on the app, which means that we're coming to a place where there's congestion, construction, an accident, something happened. And so what happens with the app? They reroute you when you're coming to the congestion to get around it to make life easier and quicker for you. How can we get to point A to point B the quickest we can? And so we have those apps. There's other people who, like, I'm not a big grocery shopper. Like, I don't know if you go grocery store shopping. I do it infrequently. But when I go grocery shopping, my big problem is when I get up to the checkout lines, I don't know about you, but I start evaluating, how can I get through here the quickest and the easiest? And so when you see those little signs that say 10 or less items or 12 or less items, I'm sure that you guys all count in your items. And if it says 10 or less and you have 11, you're not going to go through the line, right? Because we're all people of integrity. Okay. So we know that we have more items than that. So we look at the other options we have. So one of the options we look at, we see those self-checkout lines. I don't know how you guys do a self-checkout. Do you guys do well with that? For me, somehow when I go to self-checkout, the red light always comes on. And the people all come over like, what do you need now? And they have to swipe in, put a code in. It seems to take a lot longer. So I usually go to a place where there's actually a cashier. And if you shop, then you have to do what I do. I'm sure you do. You start evaluating the cashiers. So you look out there and you're trying to find the cashier that looks the brightest, okay? And so as you look around, you're going, okay, I want to get through this line as quick as possible. And so you find the person that you think will help you get through the line the quickest. Because we want things to be easy. Have you ever done that project at home, that work project at home? And my problem is when I see something that needs to be done, I think to myself, oh, this is going to be easy, right? And so you get involved in the project, and about halfway through tearing it out, you sit there and have that oh, no moment. Because you know you're too far to go back. And you're going, oh, this is going to be a lot harder to where I want to go. I'm not sure I can put this back together by myself. How about exercise? Some of you said, oh, I need to work out. I'm going to do this. And so you find the thing that you think you're going to enjoy the most, the easiest thing. So you buy a kayak, right? And some of those people, you see the kayak sitting behind their garage and it doesn't move for like years. People have bicycles hanging in their garage that they haven't used. And those of you who have elliptical machines and treadmills in the basement that you bought that said, if I buy this, if I spend the money, I'm going to use it. See, there are times that we don't necessarily follow through with things because it becomes too difficult or it's too hard. So I want you to know that sometimes some of the best things in life are hard. So as you walk through life and you're trying to build a company, I don't think you would ever use the term, this is easy. When you're trying to raise really good kids, I don't think any of you would use the term, this is easy to raise kids. I don't see what the hard part of this is. In Christianity, it's the same way. I want you to know that to get where you want to go in life, to become more like God and less like this world, is sometimes really difficult. It's a journey that isn't always easy. See, there's a big difference between being familiar with Jesus and following Jesus. It's a huge difference. So those people who are familiar with Jesus, they may know things like this. Hey, I know Jesus lived on the earth. And I know that he was a Jew. He had a mom named Mary. I heard about the whole virgin birth deal. I get that. I heard it. I knew that he had a stepfather called Joseph. He was a carpenter. And he died on a cross. So, like, I know that information about him. So those of you who know that, and that's where you're at in your journey, you're familiar with Jesus. But I want you to know, being familiar with Jesus doesn't necessarily cost you anything. There's not a lot of effort to know that information in life. So a lot of people in life are familiar with Jesus. However, when it comes to following Jesus, it talks about this life transformation where there's a personal relationship you have and that you literally through your life are becoming less like this world and more like Jesus. What's he saying in the scripture? He says this, that if you want to follow me, you must deny yourself. Now, that's the last thing we hear about in our society, right? Because everything's about us. You know, it's a pretty self-centered deal. Like, man, I'm the captain of my ship. And he's saying, listen to me. If you want to follow me, it's not going to be easy because you must deny yourself and then take up your cross and follow me. At times, being a Christ follower can be a little bit of a burden. It can be difficult. So here, when you're here today, we're going to try to get you to evaluate where you are with Jesus right now. So are you familiar or are you a follower? Maybe your story goes like this. When you were a kid, you had a grandma or an aunt or a neighbor or somebody that was kind of close to you who kind of took you to church. So you did church for a while. You went to VBS, or back in the day they called it DVBS. You had Daily Vacation Bible School. That was your journey. And somewhere you're going to church, But in the process, you were kind of taken back. Grandma passed away. And the person who used to take you didn't take you anymore. Maybe you were with your family in church and your parents had a really bad experience in church and Christianity. And you said to yourself, I saw what happened with mom and dad and I want no part of that at all. So somewhere along the line, something happened to where one day you went to church, but you no longer go now. You were kind of turned off. Maybe you're here today and part of your journey sounds more like this. I never had anybody take me to church. Never went to church. All this stuff about church stuff is really confusing to me. Actually, one time I was in a hotel and there's this Bible, like a Gideon Bible, and I was trying to read it and it just doesn't make sense to me. I want to know, but I don't understand. There are others who are here that you go to church. I mean, you live next to somebody who goes to church, or you have family members who go to church. And when you look at your life, you kind of think to yourself and go, man, if that's what it means to be a Christ follower, I don't want any part of that. Because you look at their life and say, some of the things they do, I would never do. And so you're turned off through the process of becoming a Christ follower. You just want to get away from it. It's really not all that appealing to you. So I don't know where you are in your journey. I don't know what your story is, but for whatever reason, you're here today, and I'm glad that you're here. And I want you to know that we want to cheer you on no matter where you're at in the process of the journey. So our goal here at Bridgewater is this. We want to see where people are at in their journey, wherever it is in their journey, and we kind of want to pick you up where you're at in the journey, and we want to help you move from becoming less like this world and more like Jesus. That's kind of our goal. In John 10:10, it says this, and I believe this, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full, or they can have it abundantly. I believe that in life and in Christ, and what I have found in my life in Christ is this. Well, my life's not perfect. There's challenges that I still have. I want you to know there's something that is fulfilling about walking with Jesus, because there's so much that we went through in life. People say, hey, look what the world has to offer. And people get all involved in this. When they walk away, they're going, really? Is this all that there is? Somehow it leaves us empty. And in Christ, I think he gives us this abundant life, this life filled with joy. So this morning we're going to look at a conversation that Jesus has with three different people. It's kind of like if you were taking a trip and you had a layover, so you're taking a plane from point A to point B, have a layover, take another flight to another place, and you finally get to where you're going. In this journey, Jesus has taken this journey, and he has three different conversations. All of these conversations have to do with following him. And so we're going to pick it up in Luke chapter 9. If you have a copy of your scriptures with you, invite you to open it up. If not, I want to encourage you that we do have the verses on the screen. And if you don't have a Bible, we'd love to give you one for free. We have them at the guest service tables after church. You can stop by and grab one. So Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem eventually, and he comes across this first guy, and he's having a conversation. In verse 57 of Luke 9, it says this, and they're walking along the road, and a man said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. Man, pretty animate, right? No matter what, I'm going to follow you wherever you go. Have you ever been caught up into a scenario, a situation, where you kind of get wrapped up into what's happening, and you say something, you make a promise, you make a statement that you end up regretting making? Because you got caught up in the moment. So here's a guy kind of caught up in the moment and goes, no matter what, Jesus, I'm going to follow you no matter where you go. Here's the problem. I don't think he understood what it meant to follow Jesus, because Jesus, on his way to Jerusalem, he's on his way to literally be criticized, mocked, beaten, and eventually executed. And so it's almost like Jesus could look at him and say, do you really want to go where I'm going? Do you really want to be where I'm at? I think there's a question about, are you really all in? So he responds to the man who says, I'll go wherever you want to go. And Jesus replied, foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. I would have loved to see the guy when Jesus responded with that. Could you see him standing there going, what? Birds, what are you talking about? I think Jesus was trying to convey to this guy that I want you to know that Christianity isn't going to be an easy journey. You're not going to be going to five-star hotels, eating at beautiful restaurants always, have all these possessions, popularity, all this great stuff happening to you. I want you to know that sometimes it's difficult. There's times that Jesus himself really didn't have a place to put his head down to lay. He wasn't under a roof, he's outside. He said, if you really want to follow me, you need to understand it's going to cost you something. And sometimes it costs us more than we're willing to give up. Jesus, when he came to this earth, it tells us in Scripture that he came to serve and not to be served. He came to give his life as a ransom for others so that they can have eternal life. I want you to know that following Jesus, I'm not going to like, oh, everything's going to be hunky-dory and perfect. I want you to know, absolutely not. There's going to be some challenges if you make the decision to follow Jesus. There's going to be some uncomfortable times that you will face in life. He comes across a second guy, and here's how this conversation goes. And he said to another man, follow me. But he replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead. Man, was he having a bad day or what? But you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Now, some of you are going, why would Jesus say that? That's cold. Hey, I want to bury my dad. Let the dead bury the dead. So if you understand the culture of that day, the context of what we're reading, what took place in that period of time was this. The oldest son, most people believe by the story, that this was the oldest son. The oldest son was responsible when a father passed away to take care of all the funeral arrangements and to take care of all the financial obligations. It was such an important responsibility that when the father passed away, the son would hunker down at the estate, take care of all the matters, take care of the siblings, the family, make sure the funerals were taken care of, make sure everything was taken care of. He wasn't out on a road having a conversation with Jesus. So most people who study this passage realize that this guy's dad had not passed away yet. So he's looking to the future saying, Jesus, I want you to know that I will follow you. However, there are some things that I have to take care of first. And when that stuff all takes place, then when that's all taken care of, then I'll come follow you. I don't know when my dad's going to pass away. It could be 6 days, 6 weeks, 6 months, 6 years. I have no idea. But whenever it happens, man, then I'm all in. I'll be with you. Other people believe that as you look through the passage, he was really concerned about his inheritance. If I'm on the road with Jesus and my father passes away, am I going to miss out on the inheritance? Now, some of us can kind of identify with the second man in this conversation. Now, you may not say, hey, I want to follow Jesus, but I got to bury my parents first. But have you ever found yourself talking about Christianity in this way? Yeah, church is important, God's important, but I got to get through school. I'm in classes, stuff are tough. I'm going through college, I'm getting my master's, I'm getting my doctorate. A lot of stuff going on, I'm pretty busy. I got to get my career established. I'm working a lot of overtime, a lot of things are going on in life. And you know what? When I finally get everything taken care of, I get my degree, I get my job, I get my career on the road, then I'm going to give my life to Christ. Then I'll spend more time with those things that I think are important for eternity, those things that have to do with Jesus. Maybe you haven't said that, but how about this? When I get married, we're going to make this an important part of our marriage. Before so, not so much. But when we get married, then we're going to do it. Here's the biggest one that we find. When we have kids, people go through their 20s, sometimes into their 30s. They talk about how important stuff is in church and we should get around it. But when you have kids, we need to make sure we raise our kids in this stuff. And so it's just like the guy who said, let me bury my father, that we look down and say, when these things happen in life, when I finally get through this season of my life, when I finally get to the place that I'm trying to get to, then I'll give you my life. I will follow you. And so the things that are sometimes the most important for eternity, we keep putting off for the temporal, and we say someday we're going to get to that, someday. And I think Jesus identified in the second conversation, that's what you're saying is someday. Someday you'll get involved. Third guy in the journey. Still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. And Jesus replied, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. You're not fit for service. You're thinking, man, Jesus is being hard to these guys as he's traveling with them. But I think he recognizes that you're not all in. He said, what's going to happen is you're going to say, Jesus, I'll follow you, but let me go back and say goodbye. I want to go have my farewell party. He's going to put the banners up. Hey, good luck in your new career following Jesus. But he knew when he's going to go back, I think he realized that he's going to be confronted with things like you're confronted with. Could you imagine if you went home, some of you don't go to church, and you're just like here because somebody made you come and you got free food and you're all excited about that. But could you imagine if you went back to your friends or to your family and said this? Man, I want you to know, I went to church today. It was awesome. I'm going to start going to church. How would some of your families respond to that? You're going to do what? Yeah, I want to follow Jesus. Have you lost your mind? It's a cult. Run away. And so you see this guy go away. If he goes back, what's his family going to say? Hey, mom, dad, I want you to know that I'm going to go follow Jesus. You're going to do what? You're going to go where? Why would you give this up? We count on you. We expect you to help us out. If you leave, you're going to leave us in a bind. So in all three scenarios, it's about following Jesus. For whatever reason, people are walking through life saying, yes, it's not a bad idea. I actually want to do it, but maybe not now because it's too hard. I have too much going on in my life, and I'm really afraid what other people may say. But it's a good idea. Someday. And so what he talks about, the guy putting his hand to the plow, is a person back in the day when you had these horses that are dragging this plow and you're walking behind it. What you do is when you're driving the team, you're looking forward, right? You're seeing where you're going. The people who put their hands to the plow and do this, and they keep looking back with all the what-ifs in life. Hey, I know it's just to follow Jesus, but what if? I'm not sure I want to give up. And what happens is that you start plowing sideways. You get off track. And so many people in this place were being familiar with Jesus. Yeah, he's a Jew. He's got a mom named Mary. But when it comes to following Jesus, we get to the place where we keep looking in other places and we really don't follow him. At different times in people's lives, they'll say they want to have a relationship with God. They want to start reading the Bible. They want to start going to church. But then life gets in the way and they never follow through with the commitment. So the question I want to ask today, are you familiar with Jesus or are you a follower of Jesus? Throughout the New Testament, we see the word follow used repeatedly, and Jesus says to people, I want you to follow me. He talks to small business owners, I want you to follow me. He talks to people who have had made huge mistakes in their life, and says this, I want you to follow me. He talks to people who have been in all kinds of corruption, right? Tax collectors back in the day, and he says this, I want you to follow me. He talks to people who have been rejected by society, and he looks to them, and he said, I want you to follow me. Following is different than being familiar. Let me give you an illustration. So there are people who are familiar with investments. They're familiar, but they don't really follow the market. And so what I mean by familiar is this. There are people who sit there and they know that when they watch the morning news, they see that little graph on the morning news, and it's either going up or going down. Sometimes they have area businesses they put on, right? And they have a little arrow going up or a little arrow going down. You're familiar enough to know that the stuff goes up and stuff goes down. The company that you work for, stocks went up, stocks went down. You know, you have a 401k, but you don't know a lot about it. And so you're familiar with it. If I ask you, hey, tell me about your 401k. Yeah, I don't know a lot about it. Hey, I know you have matching in your company. You know how much you match? Yeah, I really don't know a lot about it. See, you're familiar, but you're not following it. People who follow the market, what do? They have that little ticker thing going across the bottom of their computer, or they have an app on their phone where they're always watching all day long. If they follow the market, people are typically reading stories in the Wall Street Journal. They invest. They buy magazines that are about investments. They have accounts at TD Ameritrade or Vanguard. And so these people are actually following the market. They're actively involved. And it's very similar when it comes to with Jesus. There are those who are familiar by knowing general information, but there are those who have been transformed by the message of what Christ has done for us. You have a personal relationship with him. And not only do you have a personal relationship with him, but you start moving in the direction, taking your next step to become more like him. To follow someone, you do have to have a personal relationship. And there's a place to follow someone. I think that you need to try to become more like them, right? And so it's more than just having general information, because there's people who, I can go to someone's mailbox, even though it's illegal, and look at their mail. And I can get general information about people, right? You pull it out and go, hey, cool, here's their name, here's your address, here's your electric company, here's your garbage company. And you can get general information about people by looking at their mail. But I want you to know that when it comes to being a follower of Jesus, it goes beyond general information. It goes beyond just having head knowledge that we give assent to and say, I do believe that. But it's truly having a relationship where you're transformed. It's about life change. And so you say, where does that start? How does that happen for me? I want to tell you the story of the Bible in a very short period of time. Here's the Bible. God created us in his image. So when God created the earth, and I believe, I'm one of those crazy people who believe God actually had a part in creation. When God created the earth, this is what happened. He made trees and stars and waters and mountains. He made all kinds of things. But he made you, and he made you different. He made you in his likeness. He made you so that he could have a relationship with you. I tolerate animals, okay? So I'm not a big, animals. But anyways, I tolerate, my wife loves animals. But I want you to know that animals were created differently than you. Why? Because you were created in his likeness where animals weren't. And he said this, I want to have a relationship with you. But just like Adam and Eve in the garden, we all kind of did the same thing. We kind of looked at God and said, yeah, no thanks. We're going to do it my way. I'm interested in doing things this way, not your way. And so what happens is over and over again, we kept walking away from God, kept doing our own thing, kind of rejecting God over and over again in our life. Most people get that, right? When you talk to people, they sit there and say, I don't think anybody doubts that. Nobody sits around and goes, oh man, I've lived this perfect life. I've never made a mistake in my life. I think we all get to a place where we've made mistakes. The Bible calls it sin. The problem with mistakes or sin is that our relationship is hindered or hurt with God because of the mistakes we've made. But God loved us so much that he said this, I want to really create this relationship. I want to reestablish this relationship. I want to have this connection with you. I want to have that connection like I created you for. And she said, how can I have that relationship? Some people say, well, if I do a lot of really good things, right, then I'll have that connection with God. So what I'll do is I'll behave, I'll go to church, I'll do things, I won't do certain things. And if I do enough good stuff, if my scale, the good stuff outweighs the bad, then God will accept me. So you think through life and go, wow, how much good stuff do you have to do for God to accept you? Nobody can answer that question for me. I ask them, how much good can you do? So here it comes down to this, and God said, I want you to know that really I'm not putting it on you. I'm putting it on Jesus to reestablish a relationship. What I've done is I've sent my son to this earth, God himself to the earth, who lived a perfect life. And when he went through his life and did his earthly ministry, I want you to know that when he died, he didn't die because of something he did. He died of something because we did. And he said that through that death, he didn't just die, he was buried and he rose again to where he overcame both sin and he overcame death by his sacrifice. And it says this in scripture, pretty simple. For by grace you have been saved through faith. It's not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. What he's basically saying is, grace is God giving you a free gift. By grace you have been saved through faith. Here is a free gift. It's not of what you do. It's about what Jesus has done. And if you want to start this journey from going to be familiar with Jesus to being a follower of Jesus, it starts with having a personal relationship with him and accepting that free gift. It said, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Listen to me. The relationship starts, the following begins by being transformed and having a personal relationship with him. So my question is, have you ever come to the place in your life where you made a decision to trust in Christ as your personal Savior? Today, if you haven't, I invite you to do that. Secondly, and quickly, everyone has a next step. For some of you, your next step is going from being familiar to being a follower. For others, there's next steps, like people who said, I've accepted Christ as my Savior. And that's awesome, and I really believe that happened. But I've never taken my next step of being baptized and letting other people know that I'm a Christ follower. There's other people who have been saved and baptized, but they've never taken the next step to say, I'm going to make personal devotions, regular attendance, whatever, in my journey. I'm going to make that part of my practice. Some of you have never taken the step to say, you know what? I need to be involved in serving because saved people serve people. I'm going to get involved in getting connected with other people that we can hold each other accountable and serve one another. Life is better connected. I'm going to be connected with people here. But you see the progression where you can't go from here to there without taking some steps. So let me give you an illustration to help you walk it out. Probably a number of you in here have said, you know, at one point in your life or not, I want to lose weight. I want to lose some weight. And so you come to a place in your life where you have this belief that I need to be healthy. I need to change my style. I'm here and I want to be there. And so what I'm going to do is make a decision that I'm going to become healthy in my life. I'm going to eat differently. I'm going to exercise more because I'm going to do that. Now, when you make the decision to become healthy in your life by losing weight, do you just stand there and do this? Okay, I'm going to lose weight. Shed the pounds. Is that what you do? No. If you make the decision to get to where you want to go, there are steps that you have to take to get there. There are different steps, but there are steps you have to take. So you get an app. Some people download an app on their phone. They get an app. Okay. So I'm going to count calories. Oh, I had an apple, 85 calories. Oh, I had that. And you start counting calories. And you say, I'm going to stay under so many calories a day. And then you start exercising. You go from sitting on the couch to exercising. And you start looking at the app. You start downloading. Okay, I walked. I did this. I did. And you start looking at where you're at. You start to hold yourself accountable for the choices that you're making. When you go to a restaurant, when it's time for like, would you like French fries with that? No. Give me broccoli. But listen. You start this process saying, I've made a decision to get there. And to get there, you start taking steps, right? An app, some exercise, eating healthy, and you do those kind of things to get to where you want to go. And you realize it's a lot of hard work, but it's worth the work to get there. So here's a problem for some people. If you've ever lost weight, I'm sure it hasn't happened to you. It happens to me about twice a year. But anyways, so you lose weight and what do? Ah, I feel good. I feel great. You go to the restaurant. Would you like French fries with that? Yes. That app you used to use all the time? You haven't used it for months. That cardiovascular exercise you used to do? You're not doing it as frequently. And then what happens? You start putting weight back on. You start heading back to where you used to be instead of being where you want to be. Christianity is pretty similar where you make a decision and you say, I really want to be less like this world. I want to be more like him. And in your life, it's not a bunch of legalism. It's just the fact that there's steps to take to get there. And you say, you know, my first step may be a baptism. It may be serving other people. It may be connected with people. It may be personal devotions. It may be, and you start moving down this road and saying, I want to be more like Jesus and less like the world. That's what it means to be a follower of Christ. But some of you are here and you grew up in church and you made a decision to follow Christ. And it's kind of like that person who wanted an exercise. Where somewhere along the line, you just stop doing your personal devotions. You don't go to church very much. You're not really serving. You're not connected to Christian people. You don't have people encouraging you, challenging you. And before you know it, you start drifting back to becoming more like the world and less like Jesus. So here's my question. Are you familiar with Jesus or are you following Jesus? This is my whole goal in this whole sermon. It's just simply this. We're all at different places in the journey. And all I'm doing is cheering you on and encouraging you. What is your next step? And I'm challenging you to take it, whatever it is. For some, it may be salvation. For others, it may be baptism. For some, it may be service. For others, it may be getting connected with other people. I don't know what it is for you, but all I'm challenging you is this. I want you to go from where you're at, and I want to encourage you to take that next step to become more like Jesus. Would you bow your heads with me? I feel like I kind of have to do this. I don't do this in a lot of our services, but I do it some. But for those who are here that are, you know, this stuff is kind of newer information to you, and you're not really sure about this whole Jesus thing, and you're kind of like concerned about, like, I'm not sure I have that relationship with him. I'm familiar, but I'm not sure I'm a follower. I'm not sure I've ever come to the place where I've accepted Christ as my Savior. Can I encourage you to think through some things? And you can actually have this conversation quietly with God as I walk through this. You can say it with me. But generally, it's just saying, God, today I realize that there are things that I've done in my life that really has wrecked our relationship. And we're not in connection with one another like we should be. And I realize that today. And I really do want to be connected to you. I really do want to have a relationship with you. And just as this guy up front said, I think that, you know, I do need to think about Jesus. I believe he was God. I believe he came and lived the perfect life. And I also believe that he died for my sins, not because of what he's done, because of what I've done. And when he said that if we accept him, when we believe that is who he said he was, when we believe that in our heart, and when we say it with our mouth, it says, you're going to be saved. So today, if this is the first time that you've come to a place and said this, I believe that when God says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. If for the first time you kind of were made aware of that and you're saying, you know, that's really a step I want to take. I'm not sure I know all about what we're talking about, but it's really a step I want to take. What I want you to do, the lights are turned down here, but we have some backlighting. If you're saying that's a step I want to take today, would you do something maybe a little hard, but if you're serious about it, I'm going to ask you to do this. Would you like raise your hand and say, man, I want you to pray for me because I think that's a step I'm thinking about and that's a step I think I want to take. Is there anybody here who would raise their hand and say, that's a step I want to take in my life? Is there anyone? Thank you. Is there anyone else? Thank you. Anyone else? I don't want to miss anybody. Thank you. Man, that's awesome. God, I thank you for what you're doing in the lives of these individuals. No one here has arrived. No one here is Jesus. But together, I hope that we can encourage each other to keep moving in the direction that you're calling us to. For those here who have not had that relationship with Jesus, and they just want it, I pray that you would give them confidence in the fact, not of what they have done, but what you have done for them. And they would have confidence that as they today, right now, talk to you, and as they confess their sin to you, as they reached out and accepted the free gift of salvation, man, I pray that they would have confidence in that new life that they have in you. You said, anyone who is in Christ, they are a new creation. Old things begin to pass away, and behold, all things become new. God, thank you for what you're doing, and I pray for those who raise their hand today, not only in this service, but in the first service, who are just more interested, more committed into becoming a Christ follower. God, help us all. We want to please you. We know we're not perfect. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for your forgiveness. But help us to become more like you. We ask in your son's name. Amen.